Song naturally is the basis of our service to God, is having the heart, the right heart. And I hope you've come this morning with a heart open to hear exactly what God has for you this morning. I have been so blessed already with the Sunday school hour and with the singing and with the fellowship of many of you, and I can be able to feel also that, as Pastor has said, that this is one of the highlights of the calendar year of Faith Baptist Church. I can tell it's true. And it's a blessing to be able to be a part of a church that has a desire not only for personal church growth, amen, it's all good for that, but also to spread the gospel everywhere. I was part of a church, grew up in a church very similar to this. And as it was as a young boy, at the conclusion of a type of week that we're having right now, when God spoke to my heart, as an 8-year-old boy, and I said, "Lord," just like in the choir saying, "Here am I. I don't know what you have for me. I'm just young, not very talented, don't have a lot of ability, but whatever I am, you got." That's all God wants. And I hope that you're ready to be able to do such a thing. It's having the right heart. Heart for souls. Beautiful song, beautiful message in that. If you open your Bibles, please, just go ahead and turn it to a very familiar passage, and we'll start from there. In Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1. It's a blessing to see several of you who I've known for several years. Praise the Lord for that. And getting to have some new acquaintances also. Look forward to meeting many of you and establishing new relationships this week. Thank you for your kindness to my daughter, Erica, when she was here. And she's already texted me this morning, "Please say hi to everyone there." And God bless you folks for being kind to your missionaries, to be helpful, being supportive, praying for them. And it sure is a blessing when, as I have my daughter's prayer card on my table there, people have already come by and they said, I've already got that one. We already pray for her. We pray for her every day. Thank you. Not only as a field director, as we're trying to maintain all the ministries across the African continent, opening up new fields, Lord willing, by the end of this year, we're opening up 2 more additional fields in Africa. Amen. Being able to just help with the missionaries on the field, get missionaries then to the field, but also as a father of one of them. Thank you. And I appreciate that very much. Let's all stand together as we read now the text for this morning. We'll begin reading there in the first part of Acts, going down to the 11th verse. The text will be the 11th. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs. Isn't that wonderful? And being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Boy, wouldn't you wish you could have heard all that? As the disciples were able to have the scriptures, expounded by Christ now after, And being then assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as they went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The text now is the verse number 11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? They had already received the message from the Word of God, from Jesus himself. From the Word of God, we understand that he gave them the Great Commission at that time. They know exactly what to do and how to do it. He gave them resources with which to do it, and even the promise of future resources to do. But we find them gazing. I'd like to ask us this morning, a good church, a missions-producing church. Amen. A missions-giving church. But are we right now gazing or going? Gazing or going? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless now this morning. Father, they need to hear directly from you. I pray, Father, that you would give us all the Spirit-filled ears to hear exactly what the Spirit has for us this morning. May you be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. I am humbled to be able to be here at Faith Baptist Church, although Pastor Angel has said he's never heard me preach. I have heard him preach. You folks are fed spiritually very well. You have the privilege of having a godly man as your pastor. And there's nothing that I can be able to do during the next couple of days to come and bring any new information to you at all. But I hope that you are listening with the Holy Spirit's ears. That he will empower you and help you to hear exactly what, not that I'm going to speak, but what God wants to say to each and every one of us. We just read now the ascension of Jesus Christ. Christ, after his resurrection, and I love the passage there where it said, with many infallible proofs, amen, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. It's a fact, amen. He is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, acting as our intercessor. What a special blessing. What a wonderful Savior we have. And it's proven. We don't have to take that by faith. It's fact. Amen. As he's now gathering his men, the last thing he's going to say before not only the men, the ladies there, the disciples, as he was getting ready to go, he gives them the Great Commission at a time, as we read in the last chapter of the book of Matthew. He gives them further instruction here. As he is giving now these instructions, according to the Bible, he begins to slowly rise. Have you imagined that in your mind? He slowly goes and he rises and he keeps on going as he's talking, demanding everyone's complete, absolute attention to everything he is saying. Suddenly he goes so far up that clouds receive them out of their sight. They can't see him anymore. Do you see him? Do you see him over there? No, what? He's gone and he's come back from time to time after his resurrection. But there's something that seems a little bit different about this time. There seems to be some type of a finality to it. They stand there watching. Will he come back at this point? What is the meaning? How long they stayed at that point, we don't know. But it was enough for God to dispatch a couple angels. Hey, let's get down there and let's get them going. Many times we can have a little bit of a hard time on the people in Scripture because we can see the chapters following. And we wonder why the disciples perhaps were a little bit hesitant. And don't you understand that in just a few days, the Holy Spirit is going to come down with power and with great wisdom. And the cloven tongues are going to come on fire, sealing all of these people around and showing now the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's power. And all of a sudden, great tongues are going to be spoken and they're going to be able to hear from all the different languages around. And the day of Pentecost is right there. Disciples, don't you know? Let's get going. Let's get preparing. But we're just like them. It's so easy for us to get distracted. We're looking back. We have the whole book of Acts. We can see it. But why were they gazing? Did they love God? Why, yes. Did they have a true desire to follow him and to do his will? Oh, yes. Had not Jesus given them instruction? Yes. So many people today, God's people, are in the same position. Gazing. They love God. They want to follow him. They love hearing his message. They love coming to church. They try to be faithful as much as they can. But like the disciples, there's a little bit of a finality to this. Is this it? Is it truly up to us? Yes. I don't know why, but God has chosen to work through us. I don't know why. I wish he would have manifested himself in so many different ways. I mean, he can do it. He's God. He can do anything he wants. But he has chosen to work through his people. Oh, how we need to realize that Satan wants to do all he can to keep us gazing. Do you realize that? Because he knows that there is power in the Word of God. He knows that once the Word of God is given, as even as we heard this morning in Sunday school, there is power in that seed. Amen. And the Holy Spirit there behind it can be able to apply it and get it all ready to go. And when the right situation is there and the soil is ready, the seed is planted, it is watered, it's fertilized, there is life, there can be growth, and Satan is defeated. Therefore, he wants to try to keep God's people gazing. And Satan will give any excuse. As a matter of fact, if you are looking for an excuse, Satan will love to provide. Reason why we should delay. Oh, don't commit too much now. We just wait a little bit longer. Perhaps next year will be a little bit different. And even after all this that we've come through this past year, where people have been reticent to give the gospel, to give a tract, because someone has touched it, perhaps. Perhaps we've been turned off and people have discouraged us from doing so. Oh, I realize all that. And yes, we need to be careful. We need to be cautious. But there is a time frame where Jesus is coming back. There's got to be somewhat of an urgency, somewhat of a drive to us to do what He has asked us to do. God has left His gospel in our hands. I'd like to be able to point out just a few things now in this verse, just to be able to challenge us a little bit this morning as we begin this missions conference. The going, first of all, is to be expected. Going is to be expected. As we read in this verse, verse number 8, a very familiar verse, if you've been part of this church for any length of time, I'm sure, ye shall be witnesses. Matthew, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. John, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. It appears that God wants us to do something. God does have an expectation for His people. Once again, He has left it in our hands. Even that part there, ye shall be my witnesses, there in verse number 8, implies also the fact that we are His witnesses whether we like it or not. You know the old adage that sometimes we are the only Jesus some people see? Are we the witness we need to be? Thank God for the visitors that are here today. And I hope, visitors, that you have seen something in this church, and the members of this church, that has drawn you. You have heard the pastor here speak. You've been drawn now to hear. That's wonderful. And we need to make sure that we are all the right examples we need to be. There are vessels unto honor and unto dishonor, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2. And we need to be careful that we are the right type of witness because we are witnesses. If you've been part of this church for any length of time also, you're very aware in verse number 8 there it talks about that ye shall be witnesses unto me both. Both, of course, is meaning simultaneously. Without the exclusion of any, we are to be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem, of course, was pictured there on where their local locality was. You are to be witnesses where you are. Judea was the region right there to the north. Yes, we need to make sure you're reaching out. It's not just here. We need to reach out, making sure that everyone around us gets an opportunity. To Samaria. Those are the ones that were a little bit different. They had to go cross-culturally for that group. They were the ones that they didn't really have good fellowship with. But Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria when He was on earth. And so must needs go through and make sure we provide and we are a witness to all. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We have to make sure that we are to do it both. And one of the beautiful pictures that I have seen in the phrase of both is that we need to make sure that we're doing it here. Hello. I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you. You guys have some beautiful tracks. And thank you, Pastor, also for putting tracks in our hotel room. That's wonderful. I like to use them. Amen. And sometimes when I go to churches, it's hard to find tracks with the church name on there. But thank God. We have beautiful tracks here. Would you join us? Would you like to be able to give out a witness here? Or to give your testimony here? It is to be a witness both here, and also we have our faith promise card. For this conference, it's going to be this card right here. You're going to be filling this out a week from today. We are to go here and to send here. Amen. It is a both. Simultaneously. Without the exclusion of any. Oh, preacher, I want to make sure that I am in obedience to the Great Commission. Then it is both. I've been in many churches and I know there are some that are all about reaching their local Jerusalem, helping reach their local area. They're all about community and doing all of that. And that's great. And that's wonderful. These people are so involved here, but they don't care about here. There's also people the exact opposite. They see the videos. They see the pictures. They hear the stories. They want to do all they can to be able to help here, but they don't lift a finger to help anyone here. No, that's not the Great Commission. We are not to be gazing. We are to be going. And it is an expectation that God has for us. It is a both. It is here. Go here and to send there. Amen. It is expected. But the sad thing is you know, if we do not go, if we do gaze too long, God may have to help us to obey. How many of you as a parent maybe have said that to your child? You need to do such and such, or if not, I'm going to have to help you. And we all know what's in the connotation of the help you. Our Heavenly Father has to do the same to His children sometimes. He did that to the first century church. Of course, that passage there, Acts 1:8. But let's look at chapter 8, verse 1. Sometimes some of us need to be reminded of some of these things. Chapter 8, verse 1. We find out that not everyone was in obedience to the Great Commission at that time. They had not gone out. They had not reached to the Judea and the Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. God had to help them to go. He brought great persecution against the church there. And Saul, but praise the Lord, later on, changed to Paul. Amen. But Saul at that time was consenting unto his death, speaking of Stephen. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of, read it, Judea and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went, read it, everywhere. Amen. God had to help the early church. God had to literally shake up their world and said, listen, the object is to go. I have an expectation for you. I've left the gospel in your hands. Don't stand gazing. Let's get going. He has an expectation for us. It's interesting, after this chapter here, they were first called Christians in Acts chapter 11. Oh, all right. Acts chapter 17, they were accused of turning the world upside down. Amen. They got it. Oh, and we need to make sure that we continue with that to this day. Yes, the going is expected. It was exemplified. Go back to verse number 11 there. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. This same Jesus who was with you for 3 years. This same Jesus was the perfect example of going. You know, Jesus could have stayed put in Nazareth, put out a sign and said, I'm the Messiah, y'all come. And you know what? They would have come. Throngs of people were around him all the time. He could have done that. He even said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He could draw them. We can't. But Jesus showed us how to do it. He was constantly out. He was constantly out in the surrounding areas, constantly traveling. He had nowhere to even lay his head, the Bible says. He was our example. He showed us how to do it. He went everywhere. He showed us how to go into the highways, how to go into the hedges and compel them to come. Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father. Acts 10, it was said that he always went about doing good. Jesus exemplified it. Paul says in Philippians, he says, let your conversation or your manner of life be as becometh the gospel. That means everything that we do, everything that we are to breathe, we are to exhibit the gospel in everything that we do. In all of our business arrangements, every time we go to the store, every time we interact with people, we are to be the salt, we are to be the light. We are, even our manner of life should be as becometh the gospel. You know, when I was in Bible college, they taught us wherever God sends you, be sure to pastor the area. Don't just pastor the people God sends you, but pastor the area. And I thought that was so good. But you know, when we started our first work there in Kenya, I couldn't do it all by myself. There's no way I could. I asked our people, would you help me? I need you to help me to pastor the town. We need to make sure that we are the right examples of the gospel wherever we go. And let me tell you, that's what Bourbonnais needs. That's what this whole area around here needs. They need godly people who are willing to let their manner of life be as becometh the gospel. Exhibit the gospel in everything. And you know what? There's another both that we kind of need. You know, there's always a little bit between lifestyle evangelism and confrontational evangelism. Well, what do we need? Both. Both. We need to make sure that our words are backed by who we are. Christ exemplified it. What a greater example do we have to follow? But not only did Christ was our example, the going is expected, it is exemplified, but also I believe it needs to be expedited. Why? They're in verse number 11. The same Jesus, he's coming back again. Let me tell you, if there's any time when we need to follow the admonishment that Paul writes to the church there at Ephesus, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as was wise, redeeming the time because of the days are evil. And let me tell you, if there's any time in prophecy where we can be able to look and see what all's happening right now, let me say, we live in exciting times. And it's got to be expedited. It's got to be expedited. He's coming. Some of you have said, well, yes, but he's been coming for 2,000 years. Yes. But it's still any minute. Any minute. And we can see the signs of the times right now. And let me tell you, I am not a doom and gloom person. This is an exciting thing. Christ is coming. Even so, Lord, come quickly. But give us the opportunity to reach the people that want to hear, that have a desire to receive the gospel. Give us those opportunities. And yes, come. It's a wonderful positive. But you know what? Satan has tried to get us, especially during the last year and a half. The people that were going are now gazing. Been hindered. And yes, there's pressure on every side. Yes, there's mandates, there's restrictions. And people, they feel invaded. The church feels invaded. Our government schools are invaded. Our personal lives are invaded. And sometimes what's our reaction? What do we feel like we do? We just try to, we go back and we feel like pulling back and just says, let's just protect ourselves. Let's just help ourselves. And, you know, I had one guy tell me, I'm just going to buy another box of ammunition and head for the hills. You know, no. That's a Tennessee Bubba. All right. But you know what? Let me tell you, that's not the plan that God has. That's what Satan wants us to do. God wants us to engage. Yes, our lives are to be a witness, but we are to give it vocally. We are to give it confrontationally. We are to make sure that we approach people with their spiritual condition. It's got to be expedited. His coming is closer now than it's ever been. We know that. The Bible has a lot to say about the end times, does it not? So there's going to be a lot of scoffers. Have you heard a few of those lately? Perilous times. Yeah. What, people walking after their own lusts. Yes. There's going to be a spiritual falling away, and we can see that in churches all around. Closing their doors. No longer being a witness. Yes. People won't be able to endure sound doctrine. Yeah. You know those people with the itching ears? Just tell me what I want to hear. Kind of sounds like today. It's got to be expedited. The theme for your church for this year has been, and so much the more. Of course, from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let's not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see what? The day approaching. It's got to be expedited. And so much the more. We need to make sure that we are exhorting one another and helping one another. And so much the more. We need to make sure that we're doing what's right and we're staying in the Word of God. And so much the more. We need to make sure that we are adhering to the right doctrine and the right standards and convictions for our life. And so much the more now. We need to make sure that we are evangelizing. We are engaging. We are doing all that we can to go to the both. And so much the more. It's got to be expedited. But after this last year, there's a lot of churches that need that awake. Thank God that's not this church. But perhaps there are some within the church as an individual. The church corporately is, I can tell, it's energized. But where are we as individuals? Are we gazing? Are we still taking a approach, a little bit of a distant approach? Are we just going to see how things are going to pan out? I mean, you see what kind of new restrictions and new regulations and what the new guidance is. Well, why do we need to be careful? Hey, there's some guidance right here. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are to do all that we should. Yes, but there is a calling that God has given to us. God wants us to be wise and use discretion and to make sure we fulfill His great commission. We are to make sure that we're going. There's an expectation He has for us. How are we doing on that today? How about the example of Christ? Well, I just don't know how to do it. He showed us. There's plenty there. We need to be expedited in such a day that we're living in today. Oh, must we, with holy urgency, be doing the both as much as we can? Going here, reaching there, cross-culturally, and sending where we're not. Not gazing, but going. You know what? We know the story. We've seen the fields. They're white unto harvest. We've seen that. We've gazed upon it long enough. Let's go. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. Thank you, Father. You've allowed me to speak to such a wonderful church, such good people. They truly love you. They want to serve you. But Satan has tried to hinder not only the church corporately, but the individual. Oh, Father, I pray that you would not let him to have victory in our lives, individual lives, as he has had victories in others. I pray, Father, that you would allow us this morning to be able to make some decisions to obey. Because obedience is more than just lip service. Obedience is a willful decision, and then it's a purposeful act. I will go. I will give that witness. I will go out on visitation. I will give out that track. By God's grace, I am going to do what's right. By God's grace, I am going to serve him. Father, may you challenge our heart. As we see the need all around the world, and missionaries are here trying to get their support to be able to go to the field. And so many have struggled, Father, just to be able to get enough to be able to go. Some are just going under-supported just to get to the field. Father, help us to get behind them and to support them. Do all that we can. Why? It's got to be expedited, Lord. And we have your precious promise that at the foot of your throne, there will be all nations, all people, all tongues. They'll all be there singing your praises. Help us to be part of that. Help us to do our part to help make that happen. Help us to do it expeditiously for your glory, for your honor, Father. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We have an invitation time, and I'd like to challenge us this morning. Preacher, I've been a little bit gazing, I have to admit. We need to make sure that we're coming forward. We need to make a decision. I need to go forward. I've got to be able to make steps forward. I've got to be able to reach others. I've got to make a conscious decision. Preacher, I've been a little bit gazing. I've been challenged by this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand? And, oh, yes. It's been several. Yes. Many. Perhaps you're a visitor here today and you've come on Mission Conference Sunday. Like, preacher, you're talking about reaching the world with the gospel. I'm not even for sure what all that is. I'm not even for sure that I know for sure that Jesus is my Savior. Oh, first of all, let me tell you, you've come to the right place. This church loves you and will do all that they can to help you to come to the full knowledge of salvation. If you do not know for sure that you're saved, and you say, preacher, I'm not really for sure. There's no one looking here but me. Would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Is there anyone else? I'm not for sure that I'm saved. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? God bless you. For the most part, beyond just a couple, there's some, for the most part, we're talking to a saved congregation. Praise the Lord. But I want to challenge us to do all that we can within our ability. May God help us to make the right decisions this morning. Let's all stand, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. When I point to the pianist, she's going to play in just a few moments. And when she does, the invitation is open. Let's do what we know we need to do. If you're not for sure that you're saved, go ahead. Let's come forward. We have people to deal with you. If you're a man will deal with you. If you're a lady will deal with you. And we'll know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Look, you've come to the right place. Let us do all that we can to help you. Christian, we're doing all that we should. Everybody praying this morning, everybody. I'm so thankful for them that have come forward. But everyone praying this morning, Lord, am I doing all that I should? Have I had the sense of urgency, or have I been gazing? Have I understood the full expectation you have for me, Father?
If you're here today, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, we have somebody that would love to take the Bible and show you how you can be born into God's family and have that matter eternally settled. All you need to do is come tell one of these men at the front, "I'm not sure I'm saved." Just step out. If you're saved, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's a great step to obey Christ, the first step of obedience. Church, we heard it straight today. Gazing. It's very easy right now to be a gazer. Afghanistan, America, southern border, economy. It's so easy right now to gaze. And what we need to be doing is going. Great message to begin this whole meeting with. Let's be a goer, not a gazer. Pick up some tracks on your way out. Put them in your purse. Put them in your shirt pocket. Brother Schrock gave us a tremendous, tremendous lesson on just sow the seed. Sow the seed. You have no idea what happens to that seed. At any time, in the right conditions, it could bring forth fruit. So let's be goers. Thank you, Brother Bowman, for the straightforward, true message this morning. Father, my heart's been helped in both the Sunday school hour and the preaching hour. I like to get it straight right on, bang, where it hits you right in the face. And we've been hit with the truth in love this morning. And God, forgive us for being gazers and not goers. I thank you, Lord, for the number of people who were involved in going this week. And I trust, Lord, that that number will grow. And not just at organized times when we meet here at the church, but everywhere we go, may we not be gazing, but seeking to go. And I'll thank you for your help in that matter. Work in our hearts, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.